Good morning, tribe. If you're listening to the replay, we are going to, I'm going to talk a little bit about consistency, and then I'm going to move into Q&A for the day. And I just wanted to say I might be coughing all over you. So if you're listening with headphones in, you might not want to have me up super loud. I have still going strong on my cold. I do feel much better, but now's the ugliest part where it's it's all coming up. So at least I know my mucinex is working. So that's always a good thing. So what we're going to do today, sorry, see, it all begins. I want to talk about this concept of consistency and how it plays with your self-esteem. I've been doing a lot of research in reading the last probably like week or so on the idea of like, you know, what builds self-confidence, what builds self-esteem, how do they all interplay and whatnot. So we're going to do a huge course on it next month. It's all part of the self-love course where I'm going to dive really deep into those concepts. One of the things that I really wanted to tell you guys is most people are sitting around unhappy or dissatisfied with their life because of one thing. It is how they're showing up. And it's because they have just a lack of consistency in how they show up. And I think that's really important for you guys because I want you to think about, like, when most of you are coming into the tribe and you're feeling defeated and you're feeling like you're off your game, I'm off the rails, I'm all of these things, it just diminishes your self-confidence. It diminishes your own confidence. And it all comes back to what was going on last week. Well, I wasn't consistent. And I want you to think about this. If you're off the rails and you haven't been doing jack shit, it always started with some inconsistencies. And I want to go through a few of the areas that are super important when it comes to consistency, because I think you guys think consistency equals perfect. Consistency equals I did it right. Consistency means I didn't make a mistake. That is not the definition of consistency. The definition of consistency is the repeated showing up in the habit that you want to form. And if it's not going the way you think, you evaluating and then consistently trying again and consistently going. So I want y'all to think about like your last week. What did you consistently do? We all have consistent habits. We have consistent thoughts. We have consistent everything. Some of you are being very consistent with beating yourself up over things. Some of you are very consistent with thinking about starting. Some of you are very consistent with being afraid to try things. You need to evaluate where your consistency is. Give yourself a grade and start deciding how you're going to move it up. So I want you to think about some of the most key important aspects of consistency. And if you have questions, today's Q&A day. So make sure you're typing in and hashtag ask. Okay. So like, I want you to think about like consistency in your life. Like if I'm going to lose weight, what do I need to be consistent in? Number one, you should be making a 24-hour plan no matter what. I don't give a fuck how you show up. I don't give a damn if you're following it. Like the first part of consistency is just being consistent with doing the 24-hour plan. Most of you like stop doing the 24-hour plan because you're not following it. Well, no shit, Sherlock. If you stop making 24-hour plans, you have zero consistency on following it. At least when you're making them, you have some parts of the 24-hour plan you probably do follow every day. Why shit all over that all because of 8 o'clock eating at night? Let's just work on 8 o'clock eating at night rather than throwing away our consistency with making a plan. So then you think about like, what else do I need to be consistent in? You need to consistently be listening for hunger. Guys, I know sometimes you're going to emotionally eat. We're women. We're in a tribe to lose weight. We're not going to turn off emotional eating overnight. But what we have to get consistent with first is listening for hunger, and consistently not beating ourselves up if we don't know the cues yet. Pretty soon, I'm going to talk to you guys more about, like, this is coming up in a few weeks from now. I'm going to be talking more about, like, diving deep into some of the getting hungry side of things, and then I want to dive deep into the satisfaction side of things. But before I can throw the science or throw other things at you, you got to be listening to begin with. And if you're not listening, what the fuck do you need to know the science for anyway? It's not going to help you. So being consistent with like being like, okay, I'm tired of listening to my own bullshit thoughts about how I'm not good enough or what my weight means about to me. I'm going to start just really listening to hunger. Do not fool yourself that being very aware and being very mindful of what goes on with your food, that's too tiring. No, what's tiring is sitting around every single day and consistently not liking your weight, consistently worrying you're going to get pre-diabetes, consistently worrying that you're teaching your kids bad habits. That shit stinks. Like, let's just be honest. So you also have to be consistently listening for the plus two. It takes a long time to dial it in. Do not be sitting there like some kind of martyr who thinks that, oh my God, it's so much harder for me than everybody else. Or, oh my God, I've been doing it for a whole whopping 3 weeks and I don't get it yet. No, you don't get it yet. But I guarantee you, if you consistently quit, you will never know it. You have to keep listening. And every time you end up overeating, like you go past it, you're going to learn something new. Do not get frustrated if it tastes so good and that's why you overeat. Just understand that that's where you are right now and that it's going to take a few times of you eating just a little bit less, even if it's a bite, listening for that thought, having that thought come in, learning how to not respond to it. That is all a process. It does not happen overnight. And the problem, I think, is that you guys consistently think about how fast you want to get this weight off because you're miserable. And it's like, what if we just decide to quit throwing a lot of misery on ourselves? If you're miserable now, it's because of how you're thinking about you and how you're thinking about your past and how you're thinking about your future in terms of the weight. If you just stay like really present and just say like, I am going to lose this weight no matter what. I don't give a damn how long it takes at this point. I'm just very interested in getting the weight off and getting it off the right way. Then you can slow the fuck down. You don't have to put pressure on yourself to lose it fast. Because when you're not miserable in the moment about your body and your weight, and you're literally like, guys, I know this is a tricky concept, but when you have a lot of weight to lose, you have to be like I was at 250. I did not sit around and beat myself up for being 250 anymore. I drew the line in the sand. And when I tried to, I was just like, no, I'm going to focus on who I want to be. I want to be the kind of person who's figuring out how to be healthy. That was like my big first thing. I just wanted to figure out how to be healthier. And when I knew that part, the pressure to lose the weight fast turned off because I didn't entertain those thoughts consistently. So I want you guys thinking about your past week. What did you show up consistently for that you want to like keep repeating for the next week? What did you show up? How did you show up consistently last week that you don't like? Do you want to be consistent in that way anymore? I don't want to be consistently comparing myself to everybody else in the tribe. I don't want to be consistently sitting there wishing for someone else to help me. Like, what do you want? I want to be in my lane. That is a choice. That is your choice. You have to quit thinking those things. You're the one that's going to have to like notice when you're judging others and yourself to turn off the faucet. You can't just look at the faucet and hope that it's going to like, I sure wish I'd quit wasting the water. That does not work. Like so often you guys just have this like running faucet. And you're all staring at it and you're yelling at it and you're walking out of the room wishing it would change and you're not turning the handle. If you want the faucet of shitty thoughts to stop, you're going to have to reach out and do it yourself. No one else, not me, not your husband, not your wife, your bestie, not even my like BS program, no BS program. that's not going to turn off the faucet. You're going to have to do some of the work. So when you think about like, and where in next week am I going to show up consistently, even if I'm thinking shady ass crap about myself? If you didn't make a 24-hour plan this week, get over yourself real quick and make it every day starting from this live. Like right now, if you're on a Facebook Live, like seriously, if you're sitting there on a Facebook Live and you're boo-hooing that you can't get started, get off the fucking Facebook Live, write a 24-hour plan down in 2 minutes, and then you're welcome back. Otherwise, why are you here? And I am not joking. This happens all the time. You guys will come into these lives. You will tell me you don't have time. You don't know how to start. Quit saying that shit. You have all the time in the world. Losing weight takes less time than fucking overeating. When you overeat, it takes you longer to eat. When you're losing weight, it takes less time to eat. You have the time. If you're going to go to McDonald's and eat off your plan, then you do not throw away your hunger scale because of it. You start showing up for you. I don't care what is going on in your life. At some point, you must refuse to use your life, your children, the people you love, your past, your future, whatever it is you use against yourself. You have got to stop doing it. It is not worth it. If you don't like you and you don't feel good and you don't like your weight right now, then you got to change it. And it is going to start first and foremost by taking complete ownership of this stuff. And that ownership has to be consistent. Every time you say, I don't have time, you say that is crap. I consistently can find 2 minutes a day to write down a plan. If you can't find 2 minutes, you need to reevaluate your whole life. Like it's 2 minutes. 2 minutes a time every single day that will make all the difference in how long you're on the earth. If you see grandbabies. If your children are going to have to wipe your ass one day because you can't reach it. I hate to say that, but like somebody was asking about my mother. I cannot tell you how many times my mother has had surgeries and stuff, and I've had to do that. It is mortifying for both of us. Because she can't do it. Because of her weight. And I'm pretty sure she does not enjoy it, and I know I don't enjoy it. So we have to start thinking bigger. We have to quit like using our lives against ourselves and our families and all this crap you got. You guys will get in that Facebook and you will just let it roll as to all the reasons why you're eating. That has nothing to do with why you're eating. You quit blaming all of that. You start taking ownership for here's all my stuff and I think this and then I feel this and this is why I ate. If you do that one step consistently, if you just decide today that you refuse to blame your life anymore, you will start seeing a total shift. You will find time to make plans. You will start doing things that you didn't think you could do because you get out of your victimhood. It is the biggest problem I see in this tribe. All right, I'm going to go on to the Q&A. Just make sure that you guys decide where you want to be consistent. Don't be consistently a victim. Most of us really aren't. I know we have a few girls in here who have husbands who are beating them right now. And there are some problems in here. But for the majority of us, the 97% of us, 98% of us, we are our own worst enemy. We are the biggest abuser we got. And we're eating over it. And we just need to stop. All right. Let's see what questions y'all have today. Let me find Slack. Sorry, I didn't have my channel up on the wrong. I have my thing on the wrong side. Consistency. How do you keep it when you are sick? Sick doesn't have anything to do with making a 24-hour plan. I still have made my 24-hour plan every single day. When I'm sick, I need more water for sure. I probably sleep more when I'm sick. So like the four basics, and I just listen to my hunger scale. There's no reason why when I am sick that I need to stop any of the major behaviors at all. Like when I'll still listen for my hunger scale and it's off. And I just always like accept that. And I just try to learn what I can from it. But I don't like, one of the things I think that's really, that you guys always think is that like, well, if I'm not doing it the way I always was doing it, then I'm not consistent. It's more about like, I want you to think about the consistent habit patterns. I remember like when a really good example, excuse me, is when I had a few of my plastic surgeries. So two of them, I was literally, well, one of them, I was cut from here, the middle of my breasts, all the way down the hoo-ha, all the way around the back, through the crotch, and down my legs. It was almost like they pulled my body apart and then like wrapped the skin all back together. So that was amazing to heal from. And it took me 8 weeks before I was able to do any kind of exercise, you know, like anything like that. So I knew that I didn't want to break the habit of exercise. It was very important to me. And I knew that I couldn't actually go out and exercise. So every day I was supposed to get out of bed and I was, I think they told me that I needed to get up and down, I think 5 times. And I think I was allowed to like walk one lap around my island or something like that. It was like something ridiculous. That was my exercise plan every day. And I would make sure I wrote it down. And I would make sure that like if I took a shower, I counted that as exercise. And before I could even do those things, I put meditation down. Like I just found ways to hack my brain to be consistent. And I, because I've always known that since I've lost my weight, that consistency was like going to be my best friend. And it was the one thing that I never seemed to be able to nail until I had decided how important it was. I just didn't think about it being important. I didn't think about like, oh my gosh, like I really am going to have to make these plans. I'm really going to have to do this. And I'm really going to have to sit there and think about how am I going to get this done in a way that I actually will look forward to and like and whatnot. Like I made it all becoming a part of me, of who I was going to be healthy. And so before I had my surgeries and like when I'm sick, I just make sure like, I'm like, all right, we got to get the fruit in the house. I don't know if anybody saw my Instagram this morning, but on my story, this morning was all about the fruit. I'm so ready to get this shit out of me. I was like, all the vitamin C at this point. You bring it. I'm ready to just get it out. And so I just make sure that I am always thinking, like even when I'm sick, what is the best way to truly take care of my health? I don't say like, oh, I'm sick. I really need to eat something to make me feel better. I never think about food making me feel better emotionally. And I think that's also something that's a consistent pattern for me is I never try to ever indulge in the idea that food ever emotionally makes me feel better. I always tell myself the story that food, when I'm using it emotionally to feel something, always has a negative payoff. I do not say it comforts me. I do not say I absolutely refuse to believe that truth. A lot of you think it and say it like it is, and it's not. It's your version, your perception of what it's doing. And perception is debatable. You need to be debating the other perception. You need to debate a perception of what the food's doing for you, like in the big picture. In the small micro moment, it may be easy to convince yourself and think it's making me feel better. But you need to tell yourself, no, you know what it's doing? It's preventing me from feeling what I'm supposed to be feeling right now. And then on the back end, it's going to create emotion I never wanted ever, which is guilt, shame, disappointment, fear of my health. Like that's the conversation that has to be had. And this is why I talk to you guys all the time. Like I rarely tell you guys foods to eat, right? Like hardly ever do you hear me even talk about specific foods. Every now and then somebody will ask about healthy fats and I'll give you some healthy fats, right? Other than that, I don't talk about it because that's not our problem. Our problem is that we're sitting around thinking that we're eating and we'll say like, well, it made me feel better. I just needed some relief. I had to decompress. And it's like, no, you have got to quit telling yourself that that's what's happening, because that is not what's happening. What's happening is you're avoiding all of your feelings. You're creating ones you don't want. You're establishing a habit pattern that you've been struggling with all of your life that you're ready to let go. Like, it needs to be an ugly told story. And it does not need to be one that's like, because I'm weak. It's like, no, because I just keep thinking these things is why I keep doing them. Time to think something different to see if I can get a different action out of myself. All right. Going out for dinner, first time starting. Going to tapas place with several people, so don't really know the plates yet. Suggestions on how to plan. Y'all, I talk about this all the time. Here's the thing. If you don't know what you're going to be eating, is that a problem? The answer is no. So if it's not, this is what I want everybody to think about. If it's not a problem that you don't know what you're going to eat, how can you go to a tapas restaurant and know exactly how you're going to show up? Are you going to show up as someone confused about whether or not they can eat there? Or are you going to show up as someone who's dead set, they're losing weight this week? I bet I can figure out the choices. Like, get your mindset right first. Like, this is the thing. You have to get your mindset around this stuff. So often you guys will ask questions like this, and Heather, I'm glad you asked it, but you guys ask these questions and you don't realize what the real problem is. The real problem is you're insisting that you're confused on how to do things. What I just want everybody to take a moment. And if you're actually taking notes, I want you to write this down. If I could never be confused ever again about my hunger scale, about what to plan today, about why my weight was up, about what to order when I'm going someplace and I don't know, or vacation, what would I be doing? If you couldn't be confused about any of it, what would you be thinking and doing? How would you show up? If it was not going to be a problem and I wasn't going to be confused, I was just somebody who had all these things that were going to happen and was just like, and I'm the kind of person who can also lose weight in all those situations. What would I be doing and thinking? It allows you to start. If you say, holy crap, I don't know, you're not allowed to say, I don't know. Here's the problem. Y'all go, oh my God, I don't know. That's because you never think about it. And now you're saying, I don't know, so you don't think about it. I don't know, banned. Like, I swear to God, if you're on a coaching call with me, you always know you're not allowed to say, I don't know. Because I will sit there and I will wait through the uncomfortable silence while you take wild guesses. So Merle, is it Merle? I never know if I'm saying your name right. Merle, here's your assignment. Now you got to write down the 15 things you do know. And you can't stop until you get 15. All of you who think you don't know what you would do, 15 things you would do in those situations. And go. That's some thought work you need to be doing. You have got to start teaching your brain that it's not ignorant ever. The only reason why most of you are going to default to I don't know is because you're afraid you'll be wrong. And then I'll say like, well, what do you make? Let's just pretend you're wrong. And you're like, well, if I'm wrong, I'm going to screw up and then I'm going to beat myself up. It's like, what if you just go be wrong, try it, and if it doesn't work, you keep going. That's an option. That whole beat myself up part, I don't know if y'all don't know this, but that never has to happen. That's your choice. Your shit can even come into your brain. It's your choice if you decide to believe it or if you're just like, oh, where'd that come from? It'd be like letting a bee land on you and be like, oh no, a bee landed on me. Would you swat it away or would you just sit there and argue with it and cry? Y'all are sitting there arguing with the bee on your arm, praying to God it doesn't sting you, rather than like, get off me. You're not supposed to be here. I'm like full of all the analogies today. I got faucets and bees. I got it all. Tears. I'm having a problem that I've gained 4 pounds already this week. I followed the four basics, but I'm retaining water in my feet and hands, and I'm never regular with bowel movements. I'm perimenopausal. It's not close to that time. I'm good with sodium intake. Should I take water pills? I don't know if you should take water pills or not. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I wouldn't take water pills because of a four. I wouldn't take water pills to lose weight. Let's put it that way. Now, if you've taken water pills in the past because it's uncomfortable and you know this is your pattern, then yes. But, like, I'm not a doctor, so I can't say, like, go take some pills just so you can lose some weight this week. But here's what I also wouldn't do. If you're retaining water and you absolutely, like I followed my plan. There's no overeating here. There's no reason other than I'm retaining water and it's probably hormonal and stuff. You have no reason to be worried, fearful, or anything. It's 4 pounds of water. It's not like you added fat to your ass. Fat's hard to lose. Water ain't. Eventually, it goes away. I never worry about water gain. Like, it's the same thing like when I do, like I did a leg day a few weeks ago. Gained like, I don't even know. It was like 4 or 5 pounds. All because my legs, I mean, they were so sore I could barely walk. And I knew every ounce of that was at leg day. I didn't quit exercising because of it. And I didn't think that I was failing as a human being because of it. I was just like, yeah, that was a strong leg day. It's going to take a few days to get that shit out. Because my muscles are holding all the water. Because I did a good job working out. Not because I'm somebody who's destined to regain their weight. It's all about your thinking. All about it. I'm loving the hunger scale challenge this week, but I still can't always hone in on my 2 to 2. I feel like I rarely get the hunger feeling. It's as if I hear a whisper in my head sporadically saying it might be time to eat, but I feel nothing in my stomach. I don't either, Jennifer, so you need to listen. When you start hearing the whisper, you've got two options. Wait longer to see if you're ever going to get a hunger signal in your stomach. Just keep waiting. Now, it will feel antsy because you're thinking you might be hungry and it will feel like it's time to eat. You will want to, and every thought about your metabolism will come in. And the next thing you know, somebody else will be eating and you'll be like, oh my God, I'm missing a meal. I'm probably going to like die or waste away. All that will happen and just be like, you know what? It's one time. I just want to see if my stomach growls. Surely to God, one time I can wait. Or the other option is listen for other signals. So like one of the things that for me, and I think in one of the hunger scale challenges, I'm actually having people list their signals that they get. Everybody's a little different. Some people have, like for me, I get tired and I lack a lot of focus and I start feeling kind of empty. I can always tell when it's time to eat because of that. If I wait for hunger signals, it's usually like an 18-hour wait. I just do not get it in my stomach. It does not happen. I was consistently counting calories instead of 24-hour plans and lost weight. Switched to 24-hour plan consistently, but not worried about the calories, and have steadily gained since joining. You need to eat less. Do I plan within the calories I was staying within? You don't have to plan within the calories, but if you've noticed that since you started your 24-hour plan and you're eating more, you need to, it's probably the 2 to 2 is not dialed in. Wait until you're actually hungry. Stop when you're satisfied. And if you think you're doing that, wait a little longer and stop a little sooner and see if that changes things. Probably what's happened is you're actually eating more. Every now and then, this is what happens. When you were counting calories, you were probably eating less, but you weren't really listening to your body. And then when you switch over, you think you're listening to your body, but you might not be. So I would try that first. And then just watch this, watch what happens with the scale. I have realized that I don't have, or I tell you what you could do. Go back to what you were eating when you had, you were counting calories. Plan exactly like that. But then listen to your hunger scale. So don't start eating until you actually get hungry and stop when you're satisfied. See if it's the same. And if it's the same, you just don't count calories anymore. You're just going to keep planning the same. But if you notice that it's not getting you to your two, just add a little more food. Very often, guys, if you're like under eating, just under your plus two, just a little bit while you're dialing in, you'll think you need to eat so much more. You'll need to add so much more food. It's usually like 2 to 3 bites. Guys, your stomach is the big as a fist. It is not that much. We do not need to add an extra chicken breast. We probably need to add 2 to 3 more bites of chicken at best. I realize I don't have an issue with the hunger scale or 24-hour plan. I've noticed that when I wake up in the night to check on my baby from a nightmare or just to pee. Oh my God, y'all, I dreamed about zombies all last night. Just saying. I told Chris, we're watching too much Game of Thrones. In fact,
Chris was in it, and he ended up being a zombie at one point. Well, that was the first wake up. I grab a snack from downstairs. Any suggestions on how to break this? I had no idea I was doing it until I realized it kept making me off plan at 4 a.m. the next day. Yeah. Like, you're going to need to, like, go to bed consciously thinking, I will not go get a snack. And wherever these snacks are, for a lot of my people who eat in the middle of the night where it tends to be super unconscious because you don't know what you're doing, especially if it's a habit, hide the snacks. Just make it harder to find them so that you have to get woke up more in order to get them. I work third shift and sleep in the morning and then again at night before work, neither of which time is 6 to 7 hours consecutively. Does adding these together count? Altogether, I sleep 7. It's just broken up. It can count. It's not the healthiest, but there's not anything you can do about it. So it's not going to kill you. So, I mean, you know, just the biggest thing that I have read about this is you count that towards your 7. And then on the days when you can get a little more sleep, try to get a little more sleep. They used to say that you couldn't bank sleep and stuff and you couldn't catch up. There's research now that says you actually can do some of that. Tips and tricks to get the water in. I would post that one in the tribe. Like, I would start a thread because this is always a hot conversation and everybody has amazing tips and tricks. Mine is I just keep the water right here. There's always a bottle of water around me. That's my only tip and trick. And I drink Extend X. T-E-N-D. If you go, Kathy, will you type in the show notes, the kit store? It's kit.com/fitandfat, P-H-I-T-N-P-H-A-T. I put that in my water. It's branched chain amino acids. Y'all don't ask me all about it. Just research it. But basically, it's a carryover from my old bodybuilding days. We used to drink the BCAAs, keep our muscle going because we were always eating like next to nothing in order to do a figure competition. And I just love the taste of it. And so me and Chris have drank it for years, still drinking strong. It's the grape. I like the grape the best. I've had some off-plan snacking while feeling happy or contentment. I keep thinking off-plan eating has to be caused by negative feelings only. Your thoughts? No. You can attach, here, let me tell you this. Very often, I drink wine when I'm happy. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, let's go celebrate. I mean, a lot of us do that shit. You can tie it to anything. Just notice that that's what's happening and just be like, you know, when I'm happy and I'm content, I don't have to eat. Like, I just need to actually break that. It's Avion, but it's got the Extend in it. Do you think you can lose weight too quickly? I'm really working the program. I'm losing weight pretty quickly. I don't feel like I'm deprived, but I'm worried if I lose too quickly, it won't be weight that's gone forever. Is this just diet mentality creeping? Yes. So here's the thing. When we lose weight quickly and we end up regaining it, it is not because how fast the weight loss happened. I think that's an error most of us think. The error comes in you weren't doing it in a way that you could sustain it and you didn't separate you didn't do your thought work around it. So you didn't change how you think about yourself. You didn't start taking ownership around your life and all those things. All the things that we teach in here, those are the things that have to be managed. That's why a lot of people, when they lose weight really quick, what they do is they are like, I just want to get the weight off and then I'll figure out my life because then I'm going to be so happy. I won't ever want to eat for entertainment ever again. I'll never eat because somebody gave it to me. I'll never have a stressful day and eat. It's like, no, that's some bullshit. Because what happens is a lot of us have done this before. We've used our restriction and our diet to manage our feelings. And then when we don't have a restrictive diet anymore and weight loss to give us blips of happy, now we're just maintaining, we're left with the shit. We are left with sitting there like, I don't have anything to distract myself from my bullshit life or my lack of goals or whatever it is. So that's what happens when we regain weight quickly. Any advice for when we find ourselves with the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other, having a fight over a binge occurring that was not on plan? It's like I'm telling myself, no, this is not what we want to do. Stop grassing shit. What would Corinne say? And I find myself consciously binging. Well, I'd rather you be consciously binging than unconsciously binging. Like right now you're just in the phase of where you are having an active negotiation. But here's the difference. You need to not be fighting with yourself and angry with yourself. It needs to come from a place of we're learning how to stop this behavior. This is just something we don't tolerate anymore. Like you've got to like take the emotional temperature way down on a binge. Most of you are so desperate to end binging because you think it makes, you think binging means you're broken, you're hopeless. You have all these thoughts about binging. That's not what binging is. The day that you can get to where you can put in the binge, like if y'all have done the model, the C, this is the food I ate. That's what happens. Your judgment of that and all that stuff is what makes you feel like shit. And that is why it feels like you've got to argue yourself. This has to end. This has got to be a behavior. Stop. It's like, what if it didn't have to stop? Like, that's a thought. It has to stop. Everything around. What if it's like, this is something I do. I'm working on myself. Like, taking that down a notch allows you to actually start working on yourself. It's hard to keep showing up on to work on yourself when it's a struggle, it's an argument. It'd be like saying, I'm really working on my marriage. And so every night we have a screaming battle. That's not like, if you think about a marriage, like a relationship with someone, you yelling at them and screaming at them and expecting them to change, do they ever change? No, same shit just keeps happening. And there's distance between the two. If you're yelling at your binges, basically, I want you to think of that. There's the version of you who wants to end your binging and like be healthy and all these other things. Then there's a version of you who binges. Both of you live together. She's not a bad person. She eats. And then there's the version of you that just doesn't want to do that anymore. And the two of you are going to live together for a while and figure this out. And you need to figure out how to do this compassionately. You can't make her out to be a villain. You can't make her to be out to be an abusive spouse. You can't do all that stuff. You can't even make her out to be like lazy or broken and you're yelling at her, wanting her to change. She's you. She's not going to change like that. The best way to change is to start talking to her with compassion and to start like being like, I see that we're eating. We don't really want to do this anymore. We can stop whenever we're ready. Like allow, it's scary for bingers to allow that space because you think it has to end. And I want you to think it can end. I'm just going to work on it. Every time I binge is not a signal that it's not working. Every time you binge, it's just a signal you are working on it. Like being able to think about it that way, and like, and I mean really think about it that way, and making yourself think about it like that way in the moment, it changes everything. Whether you're binging or overeating, guys, the easiest way to end overeating and stuff is to remove the judgment and shame off of it so that you can get to the processes that need to be worked on and improved upon. That's where everything like actually happens, where habits start changing. The time that you spend before you get to that part in shame and judgment is less time you're going to work on the process part. So if we can start tightening it up and making that part go away, you get more time and more expansion on the working part, and you feel better in the process. A lot of things start happening. I'm an April baby, and this is my third week of planning. Doing the realistic planning is great. Good. You're going to love next week then. I reintroduced many foods back into my life that I cut out. It was splendid and enjoyable, but the scale has gone up, not down. I am eating 2 to 2 most of the time. What I'm learning is that just because I want it doesn't mean it's going to support my weight loss goals. So yeah, I'm learning. Is gaining at the beginning typical or normal? Is it simply part of the learning? It is part of the learning. So I want to, like, everybody should listen to this. This is so good. So very often what happens with realistic planning is sometimes you will gain a little weight in the front end for a big payoff on the back end. The payoff on the back end is you start understanding, like before when you restricted all those foods, you really wanted them. You thought you had made all those foods mean they're everything to you. Like, I can't have them to lose my weight, but oh my God, I can't imagine my life without them. Like you have this whole dramatic story that wears you out all the time. You're so sick and tired of living that way. You're up and down on the scale. You're going through the drama of being up and down. That drama leads to being like, I'm either on or I'm off. I'm a failure or I'm perfect. Like, all of that comes into play. Realistic planning says goodbye to that life. And in the short run, you eat some foods that you're just like, this is a relief. Like, I'm just going to listen to my 2-2. I'm going to eat these foods. This is fun. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, I'm not losing weight. Rather than making it mean realistic planning doesn't work, you start questioning, I'm a really good planner, and I'm really looking at my hunger scale. Maybe I'm willing to give a couple of these things up. Maybe they're not as important. Like, question, are these foods as important to me as I always thought they were? And when you give them up, it doesn't mean you give them up forever. You give them up today to see what happens. You substitute it out to try new things. Like, I want you to think about the difference in the mentality. You're actually, like, exploring how you could be. What's possible for you? You're curious about this next version of you versus being trapped in this other version who either is good or bad, can have or can't have, so black and white. There's no curiosity. It's just like, these things work or they don't. I'm either good or bad when I eat these foods. When I eat the bad foods, I always am out of control. It's like, yeah, if you label foods bad, guess what? You're a bad person if you're eating them. Your brain makes that connection every time. I'm being bad. It doesn't think about the food being bad. It's like, I'm eating a bad food. That must mean I'm being bad. And you wonder why it's such a struggle bus over there. So yeah, it is. So what I would do, Robin, I would totally take this knowledge. Would look back at last week's realistic plan. I would look at everything you've been, and I would question, do I really want these foods more than I want my weight loss? So if I was going to give up one or two for a few days to see, just if I really do miss it, which ones would they be? That is how you start. Like, guys, I'm going to tell you, I know this works because I did it. When I was losing my weight, I just knew that I was going to have ice cream every damn day for the rest of my life and that life could not be complete without it. Until I started liking how I was showing up for myself. And I really liked thinking better about myself. And when I did more of that, I didn't need ice cream at the end of the day to make me feel good. I had my life helping me feel better. I had the way I was showing up for me helping me feel better. I think I got to my -3 or -4, gnawing tummy and growling, made my meal, and before I ate it, hunger subsided quite a bit. Can you talk a little about that? Yeah, so what happens in that case? I would probably, in that case, just go ahead and eat if you'd already made your meal and stuff. But what happens is the more you allow your body to get hungry, it smooths out insulin. And basically, insulin is a hormone that is in your bloodstream, okay? So when you get really hungry or you start experiencing hunger, it allows insulin to clear out of your blood. When insulin clears out of your blood, then your ghrelin, which is another hormone that resides in your tummy, is going to send you hunger signals. If you don't eat immediately, sometimes what happens is your body thinks, oh, we're supposed to live on the calories on our body now. So it stops sending ghrelin. And it moves over to the fat in your body and it eats on those calories instead of calories that you consume. That is why your metabolism is not going to go to the toilet, everyone. If you're in PNP Tribe and you recently joined, you probably have calories on your body that you would like to donate to the world at this point. This is your donation time, okay? And then what happens is that eventually the ghrelin will come back. Like, okay, well, we've dined in a little bit on our like legs and our thighs and our stomach and whatnot. It will send hunger signals again. So that's what we call the ebb and flow. That's why we do the Hunger Scale Challenge Week, is so that we can teach you guys that just because you hit a -2, like, just wait a little bit. See if you've got a little bit left in the tank. Your body might stop sending a hunger signal and start dining in, and then it will let you know when it's hungry again. You'll lose weight because you're using your stored calories. And the other thing is, the only thing that will get in your way of waiting will be what you think. I might get too hungry later. What if I get hangry? What if I'm out of control at the next meal? Here's what I would tell myself. I'm willing to roll the bones. I'm willing to be patient at my next meal. I'm willing to eat a little bit slower. And I'm willing to know that I might want to do that, but I also can choose not to. And that is the conversation I would have with myself. And I'd wait 20, 30, 60 minutes to let my body eat on its stored calories to maybe lose a half more pound this week. You don't have to do it every time, but every now and then, just ask yourself, do I want to respond now or do I want to wait a few minutes? That's all that we're really talking about. That's why I don't like overcomplicating weight loss for you guys. It's not as fucking hard as we make it out to be. It's like, it's a matter of like, do I want to wait or not? If I have crazy thoughts, do I want to believe them or not? Do I want to have a better conversation with myself or just keep having this one? That is weight loss. And we never have to talk about calories and we never have to talk about food lists ever again. I'm working on owning my why, but I'm afraid to believe I can do it. How do I let go of all the false starts and failures of the past? Well, you just have to. So the false starts and the false failures, they don't have anything to do with today. When you bring them into the present, then you have made them a part of today. All they mean is those times didn't work, so is this time going to work or not? That's going to be up to you and your current effort. It won't be because of something that happened in the past, guys. It will never be because something happened in the past. You might bring it into today and decide to act like that person by worrying, but it won't be because that's what has to happen today. Today will always be in your future based upon what you do today. It won't be what happened in the past. You have to have that conversation with yourself. And here's the other thing. I'm afraid to believe I can do it. So you're going to be in fear now. Like, I'm just going to sit in my fear right now and try to lose weight rather than just being, what is the worst thing that happens? If you believe wholeheartedly that you're going to do it, you get to feel good now and see what happens. People that feel really good now and believe wholeheartedly stand a way better chance of losing weight than people who are like holding on to fear like a wubby. Because then I won't be as disappointed. I'm going to guarantee you, whether you believe hard or you stay in fear, if you don't lose weight, it's going to feel exactly the same. You're not saving yourself any pain, but you are preventing yourself from a lot of success. And that is what actually happens. Someone who refuses to believe for fear of belief decides that they're going to 50%, giving themselves a 50% chance now of getting there at best. The person who says, I'm going all in on my belief, I'm just going to tell myself every single day, I'm going to believe. No matter what. And when I think about my past, I'm going to say like, and my present is the only thing that matters. And you do that every day, like all the time. You probably have like a 90% chance of succeeding. So give yourself the 40% edge. There's always a chance that you won't succeed. But that will only happen because you quit. It won't happen because you didn't believe. It will happen because, or it wouldn't work. It was always going to be because you quit. So if you want 100% assurance that you're going to lose your weight, then you just agree you'll never stop. Like, I always love this question. If I told everybody in here, we're going to take 3 years to lose everyone's weight from this point on. It's going to take you 3 years, but we're all getting there. Do you know some of you would turn me down? Like, literally, some people would say, like, 3 years? I'm not waiting that long. I can't do that. It's like, are you shitting me? I would have took 3 years if it took 3 years. To lose my weight and learn how to believe in myself and never have to do it again? For hell yeah, I would sit there and it would take 3 years. But do anything. But some people won't take me up on the offer. They would rather go back to fearing and risking quitting and never learning the skill of that. In hopes that they could do it faster. Like, I'd rather every one of you take 3 years and learn how to believe in yourself and learn how to like yourself, learn how to quit quitting on yourself, learn how to be consistent, learn like the skills of life. That's what keeps your weight off. Not how fast you get there. Struggling with my powerful question of the day and don't completely understand the four goal circles at the bottom of the 24-hour plan. Marianne, if you want to do those, we're actually next week we're going to do realistic planning before we start moving into module 3. But if you go to module 3, all of those lessons are there. So I would go with just go straight there. Listen to, there's one on the powerful question of the day and there's one on the four circles. So if you go to No BS over in the tribe and you do that, do it. What is white knuckling and what is the opposite of it? White knuckling is where you essentially, you're trying not to eat something that you want. So let's think about it. Nachos are laid down in front of Corinne and I haven't ate in 18 hours. White knuckling would be like, this is so unfair. Like, let's say I couldn't eat for 24. This sucks. I really want it. I wish I never wanted nachos. It's arguing with yourself and raising the emotional temperature when you're having an incredible food urge or something. White knuckling, there's the other side of it is where it's discomfort. And what we just call it being uncomfortable. It's like if I was hungry and it had been 18 hours since I ate and I knew I couldn't eat for 24 hours and nachos were in front of me, the way I wouldn't have it would just be like, I know they smell good, I know they look good, but we can't eat for 24 hours. We're just going to sit here and just understand it's not supposed to feel great right now. Like, it's that, like, understanding. No, it's not supposed to feel great. But I don't have to yell at myself. I don't have to act like it's unfair. I don't have to throw a temper tantrum like a toddler in the middle of a grocery store who wants a candy bar. Like, that is white knuckling. White knuckling is where you make it harder on yourself than it has to be. Being uncomfortable is where you just accept the fact that sometimes you're really going to want something to eat. You're really going to want to eat chips. You're going to, like, here I am. I know this is not easy. It's like that understanding and compassion. It's like sitting with a baby or sitting with, like, think about, like, when you're a mom and you're in, they're little and they're crying their head off about something. There's being tired and rocking them and trying to get them to feel better, going like, you know, this is not that bad. You know, it was just, you just got scared. Like, it's like trying to convince them they shouldn't be feeling the way they do. When you're uncomfortable, it's like the being the tired mom and rocking them and knowing that they're scared and understanding that they're scared and that it's okay and it will pass. But while they're crying their eyes out and while they're like, you know, it's the end of their world and stuff, like you feel a little, like you feel bad and you do want it to stop, but it doesn't have to. Like, you know, it's going to run its course. And I think that's kind of like the difference between white knuckling and being uncomfortable and discomfort. I'm starting to level up and exercise. I hiked 3 miles with friends 2 days ago and I'm sore as shit. I was planning on going to the gym today, but I can barely go down the stairs. Do I work out when I'm this sore? I don't. I would take a small walk throughout the day, get up and down some. Just keep those muscles. It's very easy to just sit through the pain. It'll last longer. If you can just get some walking in, it will get blood to those muscles and the blood will carry oxygen, which will help repair them. I've decided to become someone who doesn't snack on most days. I'm genuinely hungry before I eat and I stop when I notice that I notice that I'm picking and choosing what to put on my fork. It only holds me for about 3 hours before I feel hungry again. I'm sitting with the discomfort. It's easier than negotiating and losing with my urges for snacks. What do you suggest? I'd just eat a little bit more. Just like when you notice you're picking and choosing with your fork, I'd probably just eat like 2 to 3 more bites and then just be done. And then continue to not snack. If that's like, a lot of people don't like to snack. I do not like to snack anymore. I just don't. I don't like having to spend the time picking out one. I don't like having to evaluate if I'm hungry. And what I've noticed, every time I used to snack, I was never really that hungry. I thought I was hungry. I wanted to be hungry. It was a good break from work, but I just don't snack anymore. The only time I ever really snack now is if I'm traveling and I've had to miss a meal, a lot of times I'll have a snack so that I can have a really good, like, last meal or something. Having a difficult time making a realistic plan in the morning seems to be doable until the hunger hits. I work from 11 to 2, right during lunchtime. It's a new job. Not sure if I should eat before when not hungry or after. However, after I want to eat more than usual because I'm extra hungry. I don't understand this. Hang on. Your realistic plan seems doable until hunger hits. Then it's probably not that realistic. Like, I want you to, like, really make a realistic plan. If you work from 11 to 2 on this new job, I would probably just go ahead and plan to eat something a little bit, like around 9 or 10, so that you could, and I mean, like, it needs to be a small meal that just allows you to, like, get to your next meal and eat, like, and practice being present with that meal. And it's not carrying out through the evening. If it's carrying out through, guys, just because you're hungry for one meal doesn't set you up to be hungrier for other meals. Once you've ate, chemically and hormonally, your body has reset. Guys, y'all have got to quit thinking that somehow being extra hungry for one meal sets you on a snowball path of extra hunger all day. No, you know what you're doing? You're thinking about the missed meal. It's in your, like, lower brain. It's back there going, well, you know you missed a meal. Oh my God, we needed to catch up. Like, that is what's happening. You need to start telling yourself when you've missed a meal and you eat the next time, reset. Doesn't matter that I missed one. I'm all reset chemically. Start telling yourself that. That will shut down some kind of smoke and mirror belief that we somehow missed a meal and got behind. You can't physically get behind. It doesn't happen. I've lost 15 pounds and been doing great with four basics and really notice how often I feel like ass. I'm not allowing myself to turn to food to feel better, but I'm struggling with these feelings of loneliness and lack of self-confidence. How do you suggest I get past these difficult feelings? Move on to module 4, honey. You need to start doing your thought downloads and your models because this is exactly what happens. Y'all start losing weight and you feel good in the beginning and you're all excited about the program. And then it's like, okay, this is just what we're doing. Now I'm left with all this time to think about my life. I don't have my food to distract me. Holy shit, I don't necessarily like what's left over. Time to work on what's left over, not go back to eating. Most of you go back to eating. You start working on what's left over. And if you will go on to module 4, you're ready. If you've already lost 15 pounds and you're doing the four basics and stuff, move on to module 4. It's going to help you start dealing with the loneliness and the lack of self-confidence. And next month, you need to for sure do the self-love course. So Heidi, like, make sure that you are going to do self-love while we're doing no BS, because it's all about self-confidence and confidence and things like that. Any tips or thoughts about grab assing when you're close to your goal? I'm 25 pounds from goal with 132 gone. Damn, yeah. And so frustrated with myself that I grab off-plan foods a little throughout the day. Yeah, you need to ask yourself why you're doing it. It's going to be a thought. Well, I'm so close to goal. A little won't hurt. Things like that. You need to figure out what those thoughts are. And you need to make them, like, you got to shine the police inspector light right on them. Like, bam. So that when they come up, you're going to have, like, this is part of your journey. You remember in the beginning when you wanted things and you couldn't have it? Well, guess what? Now you want things and you're not going to be able to have them. It's the same shit. It's just you've lost 132 pounds and now you're confronting the thought, but I've done so good. I'm so close. A little won't hurt. You tell yourself, no, a little hurts every single time. You know what hurts? Not losing 25 pounds. Who better than me to lose 20? Like, if I can do it, if I can do 132 pounds, I know for fuck sure I can quit wanting food for 25 pounds. But in the beginning, guess what? You're going to want it bad. And all those thoughts are going to come in and you're going to have to just be like, this is where we have to learn how to stop the, like it's not the stopping of the wanting, it's the stopping of the responding to the want. It's time to practice wanting something and delaying it. Has zero motivation to exercise. How do I work up to motivation? Makes me so nervous I get hungrier. Nervousness doesn't make me hungry is the first thing you need to tell yourself. I don't know if you're working out is, I think you think you're working out makes you hungrier. It might a little bit, but you just need to tell yourself. It's like two extra bites. It's not like protein bars, shakes, and extra meals. I don't get to have burgers because I'm working out. None of that happens. Most of us in this tribe are never going to work out enough to require more food. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're speaking to someone who has done ultra events that last for 4 days, and I didn't even eat much more than I normally eat during those 4 days because you have to have so much fuel during the race that tastes like shit. So it's like, I'm just going to tell you, I know of what I speak. It's the idea of exercise makes me hungry is a thought that's killing you. It is not a fact. You need to tell yourself, exercise is just good for me. And if I want to do it, I will. And if I don't, it has nothing to do with losing weight anyway. Like, that's the big thing. You got to decide. Like, if you want to, the only way to get motivated to exercise is to start exercising and let motivation build. For now, you got to decide, do you want to do it or not? And if you do, start slow. It's just like the four basics. Plan to do 10 minutes twice a week. Get your toe in the water of exercising. And then you just say, and I refuse to eat over it. It's exercise. The only people in here that should be eating for exercise are the, if you're doing a powerlifting competition and you need to add fat and muscle so that you make weight, feel free to exercise. If you are, I don't know, training for a marathon, you might need a little bit more. So you better be ready to run 26 miles. If you're doing a half marathon, you might get a snack on Friday and Saturday, before long run and after long run. And that's it. The rest of the week, you don't get jack shit. You don't need it. You have calories on your body. It will sustain you plenty. Hell, I work out probably harder than most of us in here, and I only eat 3 meals a day and sometimes just 2 if I'm busy. I think it's that whole idea, guys, we have to quit telling ourselves there's all these reasons outside of us to eat. There's no reason outside of us to eat. There's one reason to eat. Ghrelin. That's it. When it signals it's time to eat, the body has said, hello, I would like some fuel. Everything else is what we're thinking about. Your thinking has nothing to do with it, with your eating. I keep gaining and losing the same 4 pounds. It's completely reliant at what I eat at night. I'm awake until 1. Around 10, I feel so junky not eating and give in every night, wanting like a meal. I eat more than the healthy planned snacks, feel like total shit. Listen to podcasts, still can't conquer nighttime eating. The only way you're going to conquer nighttime eating is you're going to have to throw yourselves into the bowels of shit. That is exactly how it's going to happen, Melody. So you need to go to Corinne's rants, and it's over in, go to pmptribe.com, click on video replays. Go to Corinne's, I think it's Corinne's Rants or Corinne's Best Of, something like that. And then there's one on planned overeating. That is the process for doing a planned overeat. And that's what you're going to need to do. So whatever you're binging out on at night goes on the plan. Not your healthy snack. You've proven that that's not going to work. That your want and your desire outweighs that every single time. Now it's time to do it consciously and let it feel truly like ass in the moment rather than it feeling like ass on the next day. So for a few days, you're not going to lose your 4 pounds. And you're going to sit there and you're going to eat what you are always eating with complete awareness, not watching TV, doing any bullshit like that. Like, I have had people sit down with a sheet cake and do this exercise. They planned the sheet cake because when they binge, that's what they eat. And they sit down. And they have to do it uninterrupted at the same time they normally would. And it's like, well, that sucks. It's like, yeah, because you want to do it consciously so that you can consciously make a different choice. Your conscious brain, when it's engaged, has your best interest in mind. When you're just doing it automatically, this guy back here, your unconscious brain, has no decision-making authority at all. It just does what it thinks it knows. It does what it wants. you have to turn on the conscious part. Most of you can't turn the conscious part on. And that's what that part teaches you. Any tips for fighting urges to binge eat after work? Do exactly what I just told her. You do the same thing. You're going to plan your binges and you're going to do it and let it feel like stink. That is what will happen. And we don't fight binging. Go and listen to what I talked about earlier about binging. We don't fight binging. You're going to have to coexist. It's not a bad thing. So go back and listen to the earlier part. Anxiety makes me hungry. How do I get over this? Anxiety doesn't make you hungry. You're reacting to anxiety by eating. There's a big difference. Guys, quit saying your feelings make you hungry. Feelings don't make us hungry. We have a reaction to the feeling, and most of you are eating because you want that feeling to go away. And what we want to do is we want to plan to feel the feeling. See, what's the worst that's going to happen if you sit around with anxiety? Short of breath, racing thoughts, sweat, flush. It's probably going to last like 5-10 minutes. And then it subsides until it comes back. But if you get to the point where you can just have anxiety and it not be a big deal, then you don't need to eat. But usually what happens is anxiety comes in and then we think, this is intolerable. This shouldn't be happening. I don't want this. All of that starts making a feeling of resistance. And then what's happening is you're eating. Because that's your go-to to resist anxiety. Anxiety on its own doesn't make you hungry. The only reason why you're having anxiety is because you're thinking something. And when you quit casting judgment about anxiety that it shouldn't be happening, we'll tell you, it changes everything because then you can decide how you want to process anxiety. Like if your thought about anxiety is, I'm willing to sit through it to prove to myself I can handle it. And I'm going to learn how to start handling it rather than resisting it. Like start having that conversation. Last question. When implementing the 2-2, there are times that I feel hungrier and not really wanting to eat. There are times that I feel hunger, the -2, and I don't really want to eat. Should I eat anyway to keep my awareness to the hunger scale? Is this a training mechanism to follow the hunger scale that I need to master first? You may be one of the people that your like hunger signals come in at like a 0 or -1. So, and when you actually want to eat, then that's when I would eat. So like let some of the hunger signals come in and then decide when you want to eat and then you just eat. That's how I would handle that. Like guys, I'm going to tell you, everybody experiences hunger different. It's like thumbprints. Like we all have unique ones. It's figuring out your unique coordination or your unique combination is what I'm looking for. It's your unique combination of things. That is what help. Like that is what you've got to uncover. And that takes time. It takes patience. It takes willingness. And it takes you being consistently not arguing with yourself that it's not working. That shit has to get shut down now. Once that happens, you're willing to be patient. You're willing to like unravel the puzzle. All right. I actually will be back at noon. So today is one of the rare days where I'm going to be on twice, but we like to separate these out. 12 o'clock is no questions. It is, well, unless you have questions about next month. But 12 o'clock is what we call the Tribe News Show. We do it every month on the 25th. It's where I preview all the exciting things happening next month so you'll know what to expect. It's a shorter call. It's about, like, it's usually like 15, 30 minutes at best. Depends on how much stuff we got going on. It's all exciting. So if you want to meet me back here at noon, you can. Otherwise, it will drop into the Private Member Podcast just like everything else does. So you won't miss out on anything. All right, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.